Welcome to Hype, episode 55. Oh, 55. That's awesome. That's like almost almost special show. It's always special, of course, because I have Pam and Kyle here with me. That makes it special. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Okay.
Hello. Hello.
Just to clarify for the listeners, Pam's audio is a little bit wonky this week, so we do apologize for that, but we hope that you will still enjoy the show. My name is Selena, and Hype is, of course, Hypeable.com's entertainment podcast, where we bring you the latest news for movies and TV shows and music, Apple Music, hint, hint, and all that fun stuff. If you want to get in touch with us about the show or about anything we talked about, you can either tweet us at Hypeable Hype, or you can listen, or you can visit Hypeable.com, which is Hypeable.com, and click the little plus in the corner, in the left-hand upper corner, which opens a magical world to podcasts and features and all that stuff. You can find our post in there, or you can visit our Instagram, which is Instagram.com/Hypeable Hype. I imagine. I hope that there's going to be some fun stuff going up now that Comic-Con is drawing closer. But you'll have to stay tuned and see what fun stuff our attending hosts get up to. All right, so our first segment of today is How We Hype, which is where we tell you what we've been doing fandom-related within the past week. Kyle, do you want to get us started?
Absolutely. So this past week, I've been catching up on Gilmore Girls, as I think I've brought up before, but I'm really slow at binge watching lately. There used to be a period several years ago where I'd like just watch everything all at once, and now it's more like I'll watch two episodes a day, maybe.
You're getting old, Kyle. That's what it is. You just can't handle those binges anymore.
I know, my body can't handle this.
Or more like your brain. That's how I feel.
Oh man, but it's great. I love it. I'm on the second season. I'm in like the middle of the second season, and it's fantastic, as you guys probably know.
No, that's really cool. You know, I didn't want to say this when Merrima was on the show, but I actually still haven't watched all of Gilmore Girls.
Oh my goodness. Here, let me be Merrima. What? Oh my goodness.
Get off the show right now. We love you, Merrima. I have watched the first season, I will say. So it's that's great. I'm glad you're catching up. I should. That's one of the shows that I need to get into. Charmed is another one. But speaking of Merrima, though, last week she recommended the movie Spy with Melissa McCarthy. And this is why we need the show in our lives. The listeners, too, but also us, because we we turn each other on to good fandom stuff. I had no interest in this movie before. I was like, there is Jurassic World, there is Terminator, I have no money. But because of her fantastic recommendation, I decided that I would go see it, and I loved it. She was 100% right. It was amazing. Melissa McCarthy was fantastic. Everyone she was in a scene with, male or female, they were hysterically funny. Jason Statham is probably, no, I don't, because Melissa McCarthy is the funniest person in the movie, but he comes very close. It's just hysterical. There's nothing not to like about this movie. I don't know if either of you guys have seen it, but you should.
I loved it. Yeah. It was great.
No, I haven't seen it yet. But it's on my list. The problem with summer is that there's just too much that comes out every week, and then your list of movies you want to see gets longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, and what have you been doing this week?
A whole lot of nothing, unfortunately. I my best friend turned 25. In fandom related business, I did meet her through fandom, so there's that. Anyway, we took a good old fashioned road trip. LA to the Grand Canyon in Arizona. Right back, we decided let's just veer off the beaten path a little bit and come back on Route 66. And there's not much to see on Route 66 in certain parts of Arizona, but of course, if you're a fan of like Disney Pixar's Car, pretty much any kind of stuff that happened in the 60s, it's worth like just doing a little strip of. I'm sure there's like more interesting strips than the one that we went on, but it's just kind of cool to be like, oh yeah, we remember Route 66 because it's such a focal point of like pop culture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was going to say, first of all, that sounds amazing. I'm so jealous. But also, like, for me, someone like me who you know, has only experienced America really through pop culture, something like Route 66 is totally fandom-related because I'm immediately thinking, like, Supernatural and all those old, like, horror films.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Arms.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I feel a little better about myself now.
Yes.
Contributed something to the conversation.
See, what you should have done is you should have taken pictures of yourself recreating old scenes and posted them on our Instagram.
Yes.
next time.
Missed
next
opportunity.
Time. I'm not as creative as you are, clearly. Okay.
But that does sound fun. I feel like it's important to state, too, that even though we are all about fandom on this podcast, it is very, very important to take a break from the internet and fandom sometimes, because otherwise it will destroy your soul. So everything in moderation. But now it's time to move into the news. It's been a pretty exciting week all around in different fandoms. And this first story has had us busy on Hypeable all week.
So, Marima's not here, which means I got to grab this story, yes. Which was really exciting.
You're first,
I'm sure all of you guys have heard. I'm sure all of you guys have heard because we have a lot of Harry Potter fans that are readers on Hypeable, and of course, I'm assuming that we have a lot of Harry Potter fans that know, but J.K. Rowling announced earlier, or later, actually, towards the end of last week, that there was going to be more Potter, but not in the medium we might have expected it to come. She announced Potter's stage play coming to London's West End next summer. And treat this as a rumor, but the Daily Mail, which is a tabloid in London that sometimes has the uncanny being right about things, says that it's possibly going to focus on Lily and James's relationship before they get killed by Lord Voldemort. So the play is called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and pretty much that's all we know. Tickets go on sale later this fall, and then it'll premiere next summer. And I think everybody's just kind of trying to figure out what this play is going to be about, because the only thing Joe keeps saying is it's not a prequel.
So wait, it's a prequel, right?
Theories like a Barry,
not a prequel.
It's a
prequel. Yeah, it's a prequel.
According to J.K. Rowling's Twitter, it's a prequel.
No, it's not a prequel. That's the whole point.
No, it's not a prequel.
Hashtag not a prequel. Where have you been?
I'm joking.
Oh, oh my God, sorry.
You were so serious.
Oh, no. Oh, she changed her Twitter header, you guys. This is breaking news right now on Hype. I'm going to have to write this up after the show. Yeah, she did. Now it's like three letters of books, and there's a piece of the script from Fantastic Beasts. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, this is exciting. So back to the Cursed Child, though, because we got totally off track.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so all we know right now is that it's not a prequel, and maybe, if it is correct, it might focus on Lily and James, which would be really exciting because that is a portion of Harry's story, in quotation, story that fans have really been hammering to see at some point. But if it doesn't focus on that, is there anything that you guys would want it to focus on, or you might could focus on given the title? Have you guys given any thought to this?
Well, here's the thing.
We have thoughts.
Yeah. So I just want to, me and Andrew have been kind of both working on these stories, and Andrew believes, and I feel like I should pass this on, you know, Andrew believes that the whole not a prequel thing is more about Joe just not wanting to get our hopes up about the story. Like, she doesn't want it to think like, oh, this is gonna... But the problem that I have with this is that if it in any way focuses on James and Lily or Harry, it is a prequel.
If it's about, like, just the fact that it's about James and Lily,
the only one, but you know how, like, in history you have BC and AD, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's all that the Wizarding World, anything that happens world ever is. It's like
before Harry
and AH after Harry. So it's either a prequel or What's a sequel? It's either a prequel or a sequel.
Yeah, or a missing moments thing. Not. But then that would also kind of be a prequel. I don't know. It's exactly. Weird because she's so. That's the thing about Jo is that I wrote up the story yesterday, which was just hilarious. It's that she is so adamant about this not being a prequel that she has tweeted it like 20 times, and that Kyle sort of alluded to. We sat up like for half an hour just trying to find out if it was a. What is it, an anagram, or is it a...
An anagram. We were trying to figure out if it was an anagram.
Not an anagram, a...
Not acronym.
Acronym? No, anagram, that's what it is. I get them confused. Yeah, yeah.
An anagram or an acronym?
I don't know, the one where... the letters.
The one where it's mixed up right. And not...
Yes. Acronym is aha. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. The English, you know. We do what we can. So because this whole not a prequel gate, it seemed so on the nose, because why is she so insistent that it's not a prequel when it can be considered a prequel? Like but it's canon, apparently, she told us.
There are three major issues I have with this.
Okay.
And I think we've...
Is one of them the title?
Yes. So, okay. One major issue is the fact that she claims that it's not a prequel. However, she decided to agree and chose the title Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. If she wanted it to be in no way, shape, or form seen as a prequel, I feel like the better choice would have been not involve Harry Potter's name in the title. Secondly, the fact that it follows James and Lily, who are the parents...
We don't know this. This is just... we don't know this. I mean, I know Andrew believes that it's legit, but this is still just a rumor.
Okay, that's true. Thing. Okay. But then, like, the third thing is just how adamant she is on Twitter. Like J.K. Rowling doesn't seem like the type of person... I'm sorry! I can't do it!
What did we talk about, Kyle? Not Rowling, like, bowels.
You can't have an episode of Hype without me ruining her name.
All right.
Anyway, J.K. Rowling, I have to work on it so hard. J.K. Rowling can't be this adamant about it because she hasn't been this adamant about anything else that she's seriously been about. Like she hasn't tweeted over 20 times now.
About Fantastic Beasts not being a prequel. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like it's bizarre. I feel like maybe 4 or 5 tweets would be like, like, no, like, seriously, like, I don't want to disappoint you guys, so don't think it's a prequel. Like, that would
understand. That's why I think she's messing with us. Like, that's why she just... And that's the thing, though. I have to say, I don't think this is an issue, because I am having a blast. Like, I'm back to speculating who is the Half-Blood Prince, who is the Cursed Child, how can it not be a prequel? Like, this is amazing. I love this. So I think in a way, like, all this ambiguity is kind of like a gift that she's given us, like, because we get to... speculate about Harry Potter again. But I think you're absolutely right. I have no idea how this is gonna, but I know that she knows. Like, I know once we find out, we're gonna be like, oh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm excited.
Everything she announces.
and that's why I'm excited. And also, like, on that Cursed Child title, like I've previously said, I believe that the Cursed Child is, if we go by the Lily and James' idea, the Cursed Child is Harry, but they don't know it's Harry because he hasn't been marked by Voldemort yet, so the play would sort of be about them trying to find out, you know, who does Trelawney's prophecy talk about? Is it Neville? Is it Harry? Is it someone else? But if it's that, then it's a prequel. So, okay. I don't know.
And there's this one tweet that she has specifically that really, really grinds my gears, and it's her saying... It's like, okay, you'll understand when I say it. Her tweet is, I've had countless offers to extend Harry's story over the years, but Jack, John, and Sonia Friedman are a dream team.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it is extending Harry's story, right?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing
and
that bugs me.
And it's not a musical. We also know this, which is vaguely disappointing because I did love a Harry Potter musical, so. I don't know. There's so much going on in this. Pam, do you have any theories?
Not really. I think if I think about this, it just grinds my gears, like, because it's just there's so many possibilities, but I'm really going to gun for the Daily Mail's report, and really going to hope that it's about Lillian James, because yeah. I am such a big fan of the idea of the Marauders and the way that like fandom portrays the Marauders in certain ways, that I would just really see more of that. Like, screw Harry's kids, I don't care.
Yeah, you know? I know.
Let's just go back in time.
Exactly. I'm with you on that.
Yes.
Anyway, we spent a lot of time on this, but it is J.K. Rowling, so it is, I guess, worth talking about. We're just going to try to speed it up for the rest of the news stories. So, speaking of J.K. Rowling, there's also been some Fantastic Beasts news. Right after we recorded last week's show, three very prominent Hollywood actors were reported as being circling the Fantastic Beasts movie. It was Ezra Miller and Josh Gad and Michael Cera. So three very prominent that you usually, you know, you associated them with teen movies, which sort of had people a bit like, huh, what kind of movie exactly is this going to be? Josh Gad is his voice from Frozen, and he's going to co-star with Emma Watson in Beauty and the Beast. Michael Cera is Michael Cera, and Ezra Miller was in Perks of Being a Wallflower, also with Emma Watson. Michael Cera was in This Is the End with Emma Watson. Oh my God, you guys. I feel like this is a key piece of information. But so the most interesting thing about the story is that Ezra Miller is reported as being up for the role of Jacob, which is Newt's rival, not lover, apparently. even though Andrew insists on
on that theory.
And it sure would be interesting. But what do you guys think?
Okay, I tweeted this, and I'll say this on hype. Michael Cera needs to stay far, 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 far away from anything regarding Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, okay.
He needs
to
not.
Wow, how you really feel.
He needs to not, is basically how I feel. The other two, I'm, like, totally good for. Like, I can totally see Josh Gad, because he is a really good performer, and I can see him being involved in the Wizarding World somehow. And Ezra Miller, obviously, I can also see him. But I can't, like what is Michael Cera going to do? Like, is he going to, like, accidentally blow himself up? Because that's the only thing I see him doing. Because I don't...
Oh my God, oh my Kyle! I would just like to state, this is not the official opinion of
I'm just like, he's such a doofus in all
Michael
of his
Cera
movies.
Michael Cera is not a doofus in all his movies. He has done some interesting stuff. I'm thinking like Arrested Development.
Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Mm-hmm. Like, he was kind of cool in that.
Yeah.
He was a...
But who knows? I mean, the thing is that we know nothing about this movie, so who knows what kind of role they could potentially get him into, you know? He could be like the annoying younger brother of the girls.
Well, we know that if he's in this movie, he's probably going to be the annoying character.
Oh my God.
Digging and digging and digging.
I'm not the only one that feels this way. Like, you need to leave this in, because I need to see if other people feel this way, or if other people are like you guys, and you're like, oh my God.
I'm not going to censor you, don't worry. but no, I mean, honestly, like, between Michael Cera and Josh Gad, I'm almost expecting Seth Rogen to show up as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not opposed to. I think it would be kind of funny, but maybe that's just me. but yeah, so interesting casting choices, and more and more sort of snippets are being revealed about this, and it's for sure the thing we're almost excited about in the whole world, so it's cool. Now next up, moving to another big franchise.
So apparently, Ben Affleck... Oh, I think I said his name right.
You did.
You know, it's
no,
the night.
No, it's Ben Affleck, okay?
Affleck.
Get it right.
Sorry. Oh, it's been a long day. He apparently is going... it's a rumor. It's not apparently. It's a rumor that he's going to direct a solo Batman film in 2018.
Starring himself.
So... I mean, huge paycheck for him. I have not seen Argo, so I don't know how his directing goes.
I mean, between Ben Affleck directing that and Angelina Jolie potentially directing Captain Marvel, the superhero scene is really changing, huh?
Yeah.
Like, really merging with the big-name Hollywood. I mean, next up, you know, you're going to see George Clooney come back. He can be Batman.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I don't know if it's something fans, like, want. So far, in all of the comments, or most of the comments on Hypeable, people are agreeing with this and actually looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's only been, like, one or two people who disagree. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where you're either going to like it or you're going to hate it.
Right. I don't know. I don't have any reason not to like this. I am not particularly interested in Batman. I think, like Spider-Man, his story has been told too many times. So I don't even know if I'm going to watch this, honestly, to be honest with you.
I'm not going to watch any of the new Batman films. I watched one of them previously, and I forgot which one. It was the one with the guy with the mask on his face.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. So...
But anyway,
so,
yeah.
But that's so I'm with you there. I'm not probably going to watch it either.
Mm-hmm. So we also have some great news for anybody that's been really, really hoping there would be more Narnia films.
I was actually really hoping this, so I'm really happy.
You know, I have fond memories of the first couple of films, so this can't be bad news. That's how I see it. But let's inform all the other listeners about what we're talking about in case some of you don't know. Narnia fan site Narnia Web had written a report that pointed out that Finding Neverland and Life of Pi screenwriter David McGee recently tweeted that he's finished a screenplay for The Silver Chair, which is the fourth book in the Chronicles of Narnia series. So this is really good news, because if a script has been commissioned and somebody has actually taken the time to finish it, then that's a huge step in going forward with production for a full feature-length movie. So this is definitely exciting news. People have read the books know that, like, the characters from, you know, the first couple of books, like, they don't really, some of them don't show up in the rest of the movie. So, yeah. But I know that you were excited about this, Selena, so.
I am a little bit excited about this, and that's because I remember, again, you know, me and Merrima sort of wrote an article a while back about the Harry Potter movies and how we sort of felt like they were great in their own way, but they were sort of missing the magic, you know, the wonder of the books. And I think I always saw Narnia as the movies that captured the magic. You know, I'm not saying they were better movies, but I remember watching them and just being like, everything magical they did better. Like the effects and the centaurs and the battles and the colors and everything about Narnia in that sense just was cinematically what I hoped Harry Potter would have been. So I always sort of had a soft spot for those movies. I did think the second movie, I didn't care for it that much. The third movie with the new kid, I thought it was amazing. I don't remember what it was called. I only watched it once.
That was Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Yeah.
I really like that movie.
It's funny because I remember my brother and I both read the books a very, very long time ago. So I'm very rusty on my Chronicles of Narnia kind of facts. But I will say that my favorite book in the entire series was The Magician's Nephew, which kind of tells the origin of Narnia. So I always kind of hoped that they would kind of go back and make that, but I remember really enjoying the series as a kid, so I would be excited to relive The Silver Chair in a cinematic form, like I'm sure a lot of us would. But I totally agree about just the whimsical nature of these films. I mean, they kind of pulled a Wizard of Oz with the first one, because they did a really good job of showing the mundane life of just the ordinary, and then just kind of really piquing the interest of the audience as soon as Lucy ventures through the wardrobe for the first time.
And, yeah,
and that was something that was very well done.
And that's sort of the through the wardrobe moment that are very common for these sorts of stories, you know. It's the hero's journey, basically. It's in all stories. The magical world. And I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. It was such a such a great sense of wonder about those films. So, I mean, good news. I think good news. It's interesting that it's been such a long time and they're coming back to it. Sort of makes me wonder too if we're ever going to see the rest, like, of the Peter Jackson films, or if they're going to redo the Golden Compass and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's another. Actually, that is another one that I really was hoping they would continue with. So, you know, something like Narnia coming back years and years later kind of gives me hope for something like the Golden Compass to get continued.
For all sure.
From childhood, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, moving on to our controversial story of the week. I mean, guys, hashtag love wins. Same-sex marriage was legalized across the United States. Yay! This is great and completely unrelated to fandom news, but we did have a reason to talk about it, at least adjacent, because one of the things when something like this happens in society is people are always looking to pop culture to see how this is going to impact, you know, what kind of changes we're going to see in pop culture as a result of these real life developments. And Marvel is obviously kind of, everyone loves Marvel, but I think everyone is sort of aware of the fact that there are very few female characters. There's no Black Widow solo movie, and there's no LGBTQ plus characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, not a single one. So Ant-Man just premiered, or had its world premiere this weekend, and Marvel president Kevin Feige?
Feige. It's Feige.
Hey, finally someone else.
Kevin Rowling. What did you say? Sorry, Pam. What was it?
It's Feige.
Feige, right. Kevin Feige, yes. Marvel president, revealed... he was asked, will there be any LGBT characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the near future? And Feige's answer might remind people a little bit of the answer he gave when people asked about a Black Widow movie. He said, quote, there's no reason why it can't happen anytime soon. And added, when someone asked whether we might see one within the next decade, I would think so for sure. Which is all very wonderful and vague, and a way to say we have nothing planned and it's not on our priority list. I think it's... I feel like I'm sort of... When I think about Marvel, I can look at it from an outsider's perspective because I'm not a comic book fan, and I am entertained by the movies, but I'm certainly not invested necessarily. So I feel like when Marvel president, I mean, Marvel and Disney is one of the biggest, you know, Hollywood names whatsoever, when they come out and sort of say, well, you know, throw in a gay character in 5 years or so, you know, you scratch your head and you go like, what is happening? Why not? Like, why is this still not a thing? So I don't know if you guys think, what do you guys think about this?
I think it's just ridiculous that, like, in general, it's taking Hollywood so long to show an actual, like, real-world situation in these movies where, like, of course there's going to be, like, one, like, gay guy in the MCU universe.
Yeah, of course.
Or, like, you know, like, there's like, out of everyone they have, one of them is, like, statistically speaking, going to be an LGBTQ character. So
of course, more than one.
It's like, it's just like, in 10 years, like, I'm hoping that there's gonna be at least like two or three or four or something, you know? Like I don't know how realistic it is, but like, as someone said, like, in the comments and hypeable, just like, we're not represented enough in Hollywood, yeah. I think. And it's not fair, because we're finally starting to move towards where, like, more and more shows have LGBTQ representation, but it's a stepping stone in where it's going to be a normal thing.
And it's not still going to, be like, to a large degree a token character. Like, that's what astounds me about, and not just like not just in terms of LGBTQ, but also in terms of say Avengers has a token female, or say like a show has a token, you know, a token person of color or a token whatever, and it's just especially when you compare it to British movies and television, because that's so much more diverse in such a casual way. And that people aren't making more noise about this is what really confuses me, because there's always those people trying to shut down the criticism, going, you know, why can't you just let them do what they want to do? And why do you have to have a gay character in here? And like, what's the point? Kind of focusing on the fact that there needs to be a point, as opposed to the fact that, of course, there should be one and there shouldn't be a point. They should just be there.
They should just be there. It's like the real world. Like, they're just be there. Like the point of me being like a gay staffer on Hypeable isn't to have like the gay staffer on Hypeable.
Actually, just, Kyle, I don't know if no one told you, but you are kind of like our token and our token male on the show. So sorry about that.
But like, no, you know, like, yeah, there isn't a point to having people in your lives that are gay. Like, they don't have points. They're just people. So it's like, just have them in your movies.
Exactly. And I feel like because Marvel is based on this established comic universe, it's true when people say, well, you can't just turn around and make Ant-Man gay or Captain America or bisexual or whatever. That's true to a point. But people wouldn't be asking for this if there were other characters that filled those roles. Like, I think the reason people are saying, well, why can't Falcon and Iron Man, or I don't know, whatever. Like, it's because why can't anyone? Like, you know, and why does it have to be this big taboo thing? Like, why would it be such a problem if that, it wouldn't be a problem, but why is it such a, also for the network, like the studio would never consider such a thing. And it just, in this day and age, it just seems, to me, it makes no sense.
No.
Especially when you go across the pond and you look at what Britain is doing and you're just like, guys,
I'm looking forward to the next few years in TV and movies, just because, especially with Marvel, because like their comic book series have finally really started introducing more and more diverse characters. Like, just the past few years, like, they've had so many diverse characters enter their comic book universe, and so I think it's only going to go up from here. I think, and I hope, because now that they have these diverse characters, Hollywood has no choice almost to be like, all right, we'll pick, like, we're gonna cherry pick all of, like, the white straight superheroes.
Well, yeah,
and then like I mean, they can and they probably will, but like, they're at some point they're gonna have to pick like the gay character or the Muslim character, or like, you know.
Yeah. So, and it's a shame that we're still gonna have, you know, this 5-to-1 ratio no matter what, but hey, at least, you know. But anyway,
maybe when our generation are the old white people in Hollywood, or the old, like, diverse people in Hollywood, that's when movies are going to be different.
Maybe.
It's like after the golden age is of people in Hollywood have finally kind of like retired and the new generation takes over, maybe that'll
maybe be. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just funny to see such a huge studio like Marvel, which basically owns Hollywood at this point, still we're looking at white, conventionally attractive males making up like 90% of the cast of all their films, and nobody's going, well, people are, but others are then so quick to shut them down. And I feel like that's, you shouldn't be shutting each other down. Like, that's another thing. Like, just, guys, don't let each other speak. Just, <Yeah. laughs> you know, let opinions be opinions and let people express their dissent. But anyway, too much on that. Okay, I was going to call you Kevin, but I meant to say Pamela.
Not even me, but Pamela.
No, Pamela. Do you have anything else you want to add about this, Kevin?
I think you guys did a really good job of kind of summarizing the main ideas that should have been brought up. So, yeah.
All right, great.
Well, speaking of
staying
Marvel,
in the Marvel-verse,
Guardians of the Galaxy has... The sequel has an official title now, and it's, I really, really like it.
Me too.
The sequel is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It's so Great.
It's so like, duh, of course.
It's just perfect. Like, just it just makes so much sense. Like, I love the fact that they aren't trying to like be all like dark and mysterious and like Guardians of the Galaxy Dark Side or something, you know? Like,
Yeah.
it's a volume two.
Dark
Like,
side.
it's great.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I like it. Like, lots of people on High People don't like it. I don't get it. I think it's perfect.
Oh.
It works with the mixtape vibe, which I really enjoyed, by the
Yeah.
way, the first soundtrack. It still plays on heavy rotation in my car, and so yeah, as a gimmick, I you know, why not? Who cares? I mean, sometimes these titles give so much away, and you know, our commenter's always just talking about how everything gets spoiled before the movie even comes out. So this is a nice way to keep the mystery alive.
It is. And you know, I mean, first of all, it's nice that it sort of it indicates that you'll have that sort of badass sort of Devil May Care vibe of the first one. But also, who knows? I mean, he did just get the second mixtape from his mom. Maybe there's some clues on the mixtape about his dad and stuff. Maybe it's actually part of the plot.
It's true.
So, who knows? All right. So this one is my favorite story. I wrote this up also, I think, the day that we posted the last week's hype, and it was just it sent me through the entire emotional spectrum, from anger and rage to acceptance and kind of giddiness. Arnold Schwarzenegger has confirmed our newest delayed sequel, this one to Twins from 1988. Twins 2 is officially in the works, with Danny DeVito and Eddie Murphy. So basically, the sequel for Twins would re Twins is the comedy, one of the most iconic Arnold Schwarzenegger comedies, which saw Schwarzenegger and DeVito as these unlikely test tube twins that were reunited and shared, you know, a series of hilarious adventures. In Twins 2, which is titled Triplets, it's 30 years later, and at the funeral of their mother, they discover a third twin played by Eddie Murphy, who would, of course, he's kind of been off
Oh
the
my
scene.
goodness, what the heck?
You know what? When I first wrote this up, I was like, oh my God, there's sequels to everything. This is so dumb. And then I started thinking about it and I started laughing and I was like, okay, you know what? I would see this. I don't know. Am I crazy? Is this just going to be like Dumb and Dumber too?
This just I wasn't a fan of the first one.
Oh no, I love the first one.
So I don't know how I feel about this one. What do you think, Pam?
I have never seen Twins.
Oh, you see,
I
it's a
know.
classic. It's a 90s classic.
I know. I know. But you know what? Actually, oh my God, this is like dark confessions time on Hype Podcast.
Okay, let's hear it.
I realized today that I have also never seen Top Gun, and I thought I always had. But really, I just saw Born on the 4th of July, which is
Oh
totally not the same. I had some stuff to stream on Netflix later.
that's like how I thought
But
I watched Jurassic Park and it turned out to be Jumanji.
well, you know what? There's no dinosaurs in
I know,
Jumanji
but I was
5.
really young. Oh my
Okay,
goodness.
that's fair. And to be fair, we always thought we were watching Top Gun because my grandparents were not very good at putting movies back in the right sleeves, okay?
Okay.
So
Wow.
anyway, I learned a lot about myself today in terms of 80s and 90s classics.
I was a really big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan when I was like in my teens. I would watch all of his movies, and
I see
I
that.
don't know, I love
Like
them.
Jingle All the Way,
Yeah.
Kindergarten Cop.
Yes, for
Yeah.
sure,
But
for
Twins
sure.
never appealed to me. But I think I was also a little scared of Danny DeVito when I was younger. I blame Matilda.
Oh, right, of course. Yes.
So, yes.
He's kind of the same character in this movie, but it's more fun. And Eddie Murphy, I mean, he's kind of been out of the loop for a while. He didn't show up to the SNL anniversary, famously, earlier this year. So, I mean, if this comes through, I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm gonna stay optimistic on this. I don't care. I'm excited. But at least, you know, we don't have this. There's one remake that we won't have to worry about, at least for a couple of years.
Robert is I can't last name today.
Zemeckis.
Zemeckis?
Yes.
Okay. Robert Zemeckis, director of the Back to the Future franchise, has said that he has absolutely no intents to make a remake of the franchise or a reboot or what have you, which is really refreshing given Hollywood's recent activities these past few years. And the great thing, my favorite thing about this, is his quote to The Telegraph, in which he says, "To me, that's outrageous, especially since it's a good movie." It's like saying, "Let's remake Citizen Kane. Who are you going to get to play Kane? What folly, what insanity is that? Why would anyone do that?" And it's like, he's like the first person in Hollywood to voice the opinion of the public.
To say what we're all feeling. Yeah, exactly. And he's like this old Hollywood gentleman, like, "What folly is this?" And it's just the perfect, like, I feel like someone needs to take these young executives and just cuff them over the ear and say, "Stop this nonsense."
It's so great. And, like, obviously, like, as you wrote, did you write this? Yes, you
I wrote this, yes.
You write everything.
Just assume.
As you wrote in the article, once Zemeckis, Zemeckis and Bob Gale, which is his co-writer, if they pass, then the studios are going to be like, "Ha, they're gone. Let's do it." But hopefully they want his estates to maybe stop it if that happens. So,
yeah, I mean, he's really adamant. He does not want to see a Back to the Future sequel. And I do not blame him for a second. I think that it's, because that's the thing, is that, as I said in my article as well, I feel like remakes and these delayed sequels is all well and good because it does help a new generation discover old classics that they would never go back and watch because they're like, "That's not in HD, and who's that actor, and I don't know him, and I can't Instagram this," or whatever. So I'm clearly in touch with the youth, guys. So I get their purpose, and obviously, again, nostalgia sells. I mean, no two ways about it. You stick the nostalgia sticker on something, and it is going to sell. But I do also think, I mean, this, Zemeckis, I'm 100% with him on this. There needs to be some kind of respect for these original movies. I mean, it's not just about wanting to make original movies today. It's also about saying this was an era where talented and extremely talented creators got together and created something unique, and you just want to redo it. And basically, then there'll be like the original and the new ones, like, you know, Planet of the Apes. People are like, "Oh, I'm going to watch the original Planet of the Apes or the new one. I'm just going to watch the new one because it has actors I know." It's such a travesty. And it's like, you would never... Okay, that's a lie. I was going to say you will never remake books, but then I thought of King Arthur and I changed my mind. But I mean, there's just some things you don't do. There's some things you don't touch. And I feel like Back to the Future is one of them. And it's only a matter of time. But I do hope that it takes a long time. I don't want to see it. You know, I don't want to live in a world where it's remade. So there. Good on you, Robert Zemeckis. He's like single-handedly fighting the remake machine, as I wrote. I thought that was
good image. I wish he would be the Taylor Swift of the Hollywood, and like Hollywood would listen to him and be like, "You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
We're not going to make any more remakes."
Maybe if he releases an album, then they'll listen to him. Yeah.
Right.
I agree with you.
Let's get Taylor Swift to say this, and then Hollywood will listen to her.
All right, well, Selena was really excited about Twins, and this is the story that I've been waiting to talk about all week long on this show, you guys. The OC, like, you know, the TV show The OC from the early 2000s, is getting made into a musical, and it's going to be the best thing I've hopefully ever seen in my life. I'm so excited about this. I can't even begin to talk about it. So, for those of you guys that don't know, the show actually originally premiered on Fox, and it just kind of followed the lives of four kids, all that came from different backgrounds that were that happened to be living in the affluent area of Orange County in Southern California. And the show is actually being produced by a group of people that have a very successful Cruel Intentions musical going on. So this seems to be their trend right now. It's kind of what you would call a jukebox musical, but not really. So for those of you guys that aren't familiar with what a jukebox musical is, it pretty much just is a story that has well-known songs that are interwoven into the plot, but like the songs are not, they don't necessarily like serve to, they serve to drive the plot, but they're not necessarily original. So if you think of something like Mamma Mia, like that is a jukebox musical, or All Shook Up is a jukebox musical. So that just kind of gives you an idea of what this is. But this is really cool because they're actually using songs that appeared in the actual TV show. And the music on this show was such a big deal at the time. Like, if you think about shows that are on today where everybody's just like obsessed with the music on it and they're big on breaking new acts, something like The Vampire Diaries on the CW, like The OC was the show to kind of start this trend.
Mm-hmm.
And the original, the creator of the show even said that like when they started with this show, they wanted to have the music be like a character. And that really is what the show ended up doing for music. And it introduced the world to a bunch of acts, from The Killers to Death Cab for Cutie, Rooney, and all this stuff. So it's just like there's a lot of great music. It's pretty much like a mixtape.
I have all the CDs. Lover's Dream.
It's great. The soundtracks,
at least I have five of them.
So
I don't know
great.
If I have more.
Yeah, Imogen Heap. Mm-hmm. Like if you guys ever watched the show, God. Like her song like played a huge role in the plot and just kind of broke her into the mainstream in America and across the world and stuff like that. So Alexander Pastavas, who was the musical supervisor on there, she did a really good job with this. And so that's, I think, why I'm really excited to hopefully experience this live. It's going to come to LA for apparently a one-night-only engagement. So if you're listening, OC musical creators, I would like to go, and I will write you a riveting review on Hypeable.
Yes.
That's my plug for myself. I'm excited, you guys.
California!
But I'm glad that you understand.
I do understand. I loved that show. That The OC was one of the first shows that I considered myself a fan of. It's actually funny because... Buffy doesn't count, but The OC was the first fandom that I engaged with online. It's really funny. Like,
Ooh, interesting. I
was on, like, this was back when forums were a thing, and it was through The OC, actually, an OC forum that I discovered Lost. And then I started being really engaged with the Lost community, and that was sort of the first time that I really engaged with... So it's all The OC's fault, guys. Why? No.
That's not a bad thing.
I guess we'll take it. Yeah.
See, I've never seen The OC, so I don't.
Oh my God, Kyle, you would love it.
Good. You would.
You would.
And you'll get introduced to the love of my 13-year-old life.
Seth Cohen.
AKA Adam Brody.
Yes. All right, so moving on now, because, I mean, The OC, awesome. Here's another show that's making a resurgence.
Now this I get.
Oh my God. Are you there with me, Kyle? Are you excited for this?
I'm so there with you.
So, Heroes, back when it was on in NBC, when it premiered in, I believe, 2006, I loved Heroes. The first season blew me away. It was like television like I'd never seen television before. Then came season two, and I began to doubt my love for this show. I completely started watching or stopped watching it in season three, and I never caught up with the rest of it. So when they announced Heroes Reborn, I was a little bit like, do we really want to, you know, kick that dead horse? Is this really the show you want to be doing, NBC? Then I saw the trailer. And I am now 100% on board. There's Kyle's homeboy, Zachary Levi, obviously.
Yes.
And there's my homeboy, Masioka, who, of course, played Hero. And I think the moment that sold me on this, and you guys can go check out, there's two trailers up on Hypeable. You can go check them out. But what really sold me on this reboot was when Hero comes back in this dystopian future, he looks... like the future hero
from
of Heroes?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same. I put in like the side-by-side comparison. It's like, it just made me realize like these people, they're Tim Kring and his team, they really care. And this is going to be like the story that we always wanted. And I'm like,
Like this makes me want to do a rewatch of Heroes.
But I don't want to watch the later seasons because they were so sucky. But at least the first season.
Hey, I loved the circus season.
What's the circus season? Like, I might not have watched that.
The season when Claire went to the circus?
I do not remember that.
Is it when Claire went? No, the guy who owned the circus. I don't know. Either way, I love the later seasons.
Okay. I but did not. but it's not important because, I mean, this Heroes Reborn, it premieres in the fall. It stars Zachary Levi, as I said, Kyle's homeboy. And there's like Jack Coleman is going to return as the man, the horn-rimmed glasses. And Masioka is back as Hero. Noah Gray Cabe? He's back as Micah, who was, of course, a little kid who's now all grown up.
I can't believe he's back.
I know. It's like, so cool.
Oh.
And Angela Petrelli is there. And
Claire was my favorite. I wish she was.
She's not coming back. But my favorite, Matt Parkman, played by Greg Grunberg, who is in Everything I Love, and is also going to be in Star Wars. He's back. And that's so cool. I just, everything about this. It's like their second chance to make the show that they kind of made in season one, but kind of sort of teetered off. I know you like the later seasons, but they're generally
not liked. I agree that season one was the best, the better season.
So, I mean, wow. Just wow.
It's astounding.
It is.
It's going to be, like, it's so rare that that network TV revives a show that was so loved and everyone wants to come back. So this is just a great opportunity for the fans to just really like take it back in and soak it back up. I remember the day I saw the bus ad for Heroes and I went, that looks really interesting. Mm-hmm. I really want to watch that. I like the very first day I saw it, and then I was hooked from like the premiere on. So this is going to be great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's this and X-Files. It's amazing. It's so exciting. But yeah, so there's only one story left now, and it is the one you've all been waiting for, I'm sure.
Of course. So last week we told you guys about, was it last week? These shows just kind of all jumbled together for me, but in the best way possible. All right. Well, last week we told you guys about Apple Music, which is iTunes and Apple's response to online streaming services like Spotify, Pandora, and even Jay-Z's Tidal. And the application or feature, whatever you really want to call it, it's not really an app. You can just access it, I guess, through the iTunes store. Has been released. It came out on the 30th, which is today when we're recording, but probably sometime in the future for you guys listening. And I'm really bummed out because my phone would not let me upgrade to the new iOS that I needed to actually use this. Yeah, it put me on this weird waiting list like all day long. It was so weird. It just said like all it said was, like, update requested. And I was just sitting there, like, waiting and waiting and waiting. Right. So I'm really bummed out because I've been, like, watching everybody get to play with it. And now it's, like, almost bedtime and my phone is finally upgrading to the new system. So I'm really excited to actually use this at the gym tomorrow. I think I mentioned this when we first talked about, like, all the features and stuff like that. But I'm specifically really excited to check out this 24-hour radio station that they're going to have on there. Well, I'm just a sucker for radio and stuff like that. And, so yeah, so I'll be checking that out when I'm at the gym tomorrow.
Well, I have one main question about this.
I don't know if you guys have had a chance.
I haven't. Yeah. I downloaded it, but I haven't had a chance to look at it.
I just updated.
But I want to know, can you make music available offline or not? Because that's like the only thing I care about.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure because I haven't had a chance to play around with it. I know that with Spotify, if you pay for the service, you can make mixtapes or not mixtapes, playlists available offline.
Mixtapes. Oh, Pam.
Everything is mixtape, actually. Yeah. If you go on my Spotify, it's really embarrassing. It's just like summer 2015 mixtape. Anyway, I'm a strange child. Yes, I want to say that there is probably a feature like that on here. If it's not on here now, it's probably coming soon. Because in order to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, they're going to have to figure out how to do that. Because so many people stream their music on the go. And the fact that this is a paying service, I just don't understand why they wouldn't have something like that. So I don't have the answer for you, but my best guess is yes, you will be able to do this.
I mean, because that's the thing. Like, and we've talked about this. Andrew has a great article up sort of outlining its major features. And of course, in terms of paying, if you can go in, what is it like for six people on a family plan, it's $14 or something?
Yeah, that's the best deal out there, probably.
Like, that makes it completely worth it, I think, in terms of having... Because I mean, let's be honest, I like to pretend that I don't spend money on music, but that's a total lie. Within the past month, I've bought, like, Kate Vogel's sort of mini LP. I've bought an Ingrid Michaelson album. I've bought the new of Monsters and Men. I've bought a couple of singles, and now I just bought some Kacey Musgraves. So that's already like two iTunes subscriptions or Apple Music, right? So
right, yeah.
So I would, but the thing is, like, I don't have unlimited streaming capabilities, and I don't want to spend all of my internet on streaming music, and I'm not always in a place with good connections. So if it's not, if I can't make playlists and take them to the gym, like you said, then what am I going to do with it? Just sit at home? No.
Right. And you know what? I totally understand, because I'm the same way. Like, I love, as somebody who, I'm like the unofficial hypeable music aficionado.
Yeah.
But I enjoy listening to albums in full, because I feel like if albums are done right, they do really tell a story. But at the end of the day, like, if I'm like traveling with friends, or if I'm just looking to create something that is just kind of a little bit of everything, I am totally the person that makes playlists. Like, I have a million playlists. I have playlists for every, like, mood. I have playlists for every, like, time of the season. I kind of treat playlists like my unofficial scrapbook, because music has this wonderful way to transport you back into the time and place when you put that song on X, Y, and Z, like, mix or whatever, and you were like, this is how I'm feeling right now. So I like to have stuff like that, and I save them, and I don't really delete them, because there's no point. So yeah, I totally agree. Like, if Apple Music did not have a feature where you could take these on the go, or even listen to them when you're flying on a plane, like, that's what I just did when I flew back home. Like, I upgraded to Spotify Premium just so I could download offline some of my favorite playlists that I have on there. And it was such a nice thing to have, because I didn't have to worry about uploading them all to my phone or buying songs that I haven't had a chance to purchase yet, because music is a little expensive. But I still kind of felt good, because I wasn't like downloading illegally, and I'm still, you know, paying a service fee. And it, yeah, it worked out really well. So I'm with you there on that front for sure.
We'll have to. We would love to get actually listeners' feedback on Apple Music, because obviously we're speaking about this on the day it's released. So once you listen to this, you'll be like, "Duh! Of course they like have offline streaming or don't or whatever." So let us know like how you're, if you're liking it, if you're gonna switch to this, if you're on Spotify, or if you're gonna cash out for the family plan. We would love to hear what you think. And that wraps up the news, just about an hour into the show. It's pretty good. Pretty good for us. We don't have Andrew here to cut us off, so we do what we can. Moving on to TV show of the week. And we're going to start with Pam, because I think yours is the most timely.
Fun. I got first on the news, and I got first on this. So I'm really excited about this one, you guys. HBO's True Detective is finally back. It's on its second episode. And it's just such a well-done show. I don't know if either of you tuned in for the first season, which starred Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. But if you did, it's a little bit more of the same. It's an American crime drama series that kind of follows the lives of a couple different people. And then they kind of intersect in very interesting ways. And this season is shaping up to be really interesting. It's got a killer cast. You got Colin Farrell, Rachel McAdams, Taylor Kitsch, Kelly Riley, Vince Vaughn. I mean, what more could you ask for? But it's really cool, because it's definitely like it's very character driven. So if you like stories that kind of focus on character development and just what makes people tick in that psychological sort of way, then this is definitely a show that you should be watching. And it's just really well done, and I'm really enjoying it so far. So I'm excited to stream the second episode. Like I said, I was gone at the Grand Canyon over the weekend, so I get to watch it now, and I'm really excited to do that.
So you're liking the first episode?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I was talking to a friend of mine about this at work the other day, and we both kind of went into it like really excited, and then we weren't really pulled into the story until Colin Farrell, who is probably the most messed up of all of them so far, kind of came in, and like you really kind of got a feel for just how crazy he is. And then after that, it was just like you could not look away because you just needed to see how this was going to go. Did you see the first episode?
I haven't yet. I've only got a few episodes into the first season. It's one of those shows that I don't know, I never really got into. But I heard that the first episode of season two didn't really hook people, so it's good to hear that you liked it.
Yeah, and it was like, it's funny. I really just think that once you get past the first like couple, like maybe like 10, 15 minutes, it's a lot more interesting as it goes on. But I'm definitely excited to see where it goes from here. And there are obviously some characters that I'm more interested in than others. So we'll see how they all intertwine and what gets revealed as the series goes on. But it's definitely like a fun little summer show. And it's nice because like even if you haven't watched the first series, you can watch season two. Like you could pick up from last week's episode, not have to worry about marathoning the first season, which is something that's like super important for a lot of people, of course, because it's so daunting to have to play catch up when you're already behind. So you definitely don't have to do that with this.
All right, good to know. And and Kyle, you beat me to it. I've really tried to watch this, so tell us about Sense8.
Okay, so Sense8 is this new Netflix original show, and I can't for the life of me explain the plot of this show because every time I try, I fumble over my words like I am now. It's like a sci-fi kind of drama, essentially, and the lives of eight people start to interconnect in that they start experiencing each other's lives. And so, like, say there's, like, a cop, and then there's, like, this DJ, and, like, the cop is, like, you know, it's, like, just, like, shaving in the bathroom, just, like, doing his thing, but then, like, for a second, he'd see the DJ in the mirror instead of himself. And, like, it's really, like, complicated. I looked into it because it looked very, like, the thing I am into. Like, it's... My roommate said it reminded him of Heroes, but instead of, like, abilities, just this weird phenomenon that's happening.
Yeah.
And
or, like, powers as well.
Yeah. It's super, super weird. The guy from Lost is in it. I don't know what his name is.
That one guy. Yeah.
He was in Alice in Wonderland. Do you know his name? I thought you would know because you're the Lost
fan. I do, but I don't. Hold on.
Naveen Andrews.
Naveen Andrews.
He's in it. He's one of the only faces that I recognize. But, okay, as far as, like, a review of the show, like, the first two episodes have been really interesting. But if you're going to want to check this show out, you're really going to want to dedicate yourself because the pacing and
it's also Martha from Doctor Who is in it too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and she's a lesbian, which, like, blows my mind because why? Because seeing her, like, being with Mickey, like, the last I saw her, like, was with Mickey, and so, like, the reason it blew my mind was the very first scene that you see her in is a sex scene. So that's why I was like, whoa, okay. All right, that's okay.
But then you remembered she's an actress and it's not the same character.
Obviously.
So.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. It was a very... you know what? Actually, I have to say, like, that was one of the things, because I'm only halfway through the pilot, and it's one of the things that kind of turned me off a little bit. I was like, oh, really? Like, a graphic sex scene to, like, hook in viewers?
There's a couple more in them.
I don't like when TV shows... do this. Like, hey, listen, I, you know, sex scenes have their time and have their place, but when I feel like it's being used to entice me, it turns me just completely off. I'm like, you know what? No, I do. If you don't have a story, I'm not interested. I'm not saying this show doesn't have a story. I'm just saying that's how I was like,
But like, yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. But if you guys are interested in watching, definitely it's one of those shows that you're going to want to make time for the pilot and the second episode because the pilot doesn't grab you. It's like when you watch the pilot, I don't feel like by the end of it there's a cliffhanger, obviously, but it's in a way where it's like very cheap in that like I felt like they wanted to make it a cliffhanger so you'd watch the next episode, not that it was a cliffhanger because the plot needed it to be or like made it go there in a natural fashion. It just kind of went up, 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 and then down.
All right.
So,
well, I don't know. So would you recommend it?
You know, I would. I have only seen the first two episodes, and the second episode ended in a way better way. So I'll give you an update next week I watch more episodes. But so far, yes. Thumbs sideways. So yes, take a chance if you're into it.
I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to watch it because I feel like there's so much. And I know this is a bad way to pick what you watch, but there's so much that I haven't seen. And there's so much that I want to watch. And when I sort of get these, because I've had a few people on Twitter tell me, yeah, it's okay. I've seen it all and it was fine. When I get that, I'm like, you know what? I don't have time for this, you know?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You want to prioritize the stuff that's like amazing.
I wanted
that
to
you can't miss.
Blow my mind. Yeah, and that's a really unreasonable
my
standard.
Mad Fat Diary.
What?
My Mad Fat Diary.
Oh, yes, I know, but give it to me and I'll watch it for God's sakes. But you're like, I want to watch Skins, you know, because I know that's really good, but that's just like so many seasons. Anyway, what I have watched, this is why it's so dumb, because I have all these shows that I want to watch, and then instead I go back and watch something from like 2012. I watched Political Animals with Sigourney Weaver. I've wanted to watch this for a long time, but I just, it just, you know how like, so much, and you're like looking at all these titles, and you're like, ugh. And then you see this one, and you're like, you know, for some reason, right now, this is anything. That's the only thing that my brain can handle. It's a 6-episode miniseries, and I watched it on the train. I had a long train ride, so I basically watched it all in one day. I really liked it. I think it's such a shame there's no season 2 because there's a lot of untied ends. But for a show, like this was, I don't know why, because it's not a perfect show, but I really enjoy, I can really recommend it. Like if you're looking for something to just watch and you're Sigourney Weaver, obviously is fantastic. You have Kieran Hines in the first episode, you despise him. And by the end, you love him. So, and it's about this woman, like it's this woman who wants to be president and sort of it begins her journey towards presidency, even though obviously it's kind of cut short because there it didn't get renewed. and here's another thing. I started watching this. I didn't know that Sebastian Stan was going to be in this. Here's a little dark secret about me.
That's why I want to watch it.
I don't know why, but I will watch anything he is in, and I don't get this a lot with actors, so it's really strange. Like when I watched the miniseries Labyrinth as well, which by the way I can also recommend. It's really, really good, and he was in that too. And I first watched him in Once Upon a Time, and I'm gonna stop gushing in a minute, I promise. But it's so weird because like this guy like has chemistry with like a houseplant. Like whatever he's in, I expect him to just start making out with everybody, and I love it. So that was a very pleasant surprise. And he has a really, really good role in the show, and he's probably the character that you feel for the most, aside from Sigourney Weaver's main character. Highly recommended. And if you are a Sebastian Stan fan, Kyle, like, you have to watch this yesterday.
I was when it came out, I was telling myself, oh, I'll watch it, and I didn't end up watching it, but I will.
You should. I mean, absolutely, I you have to. That's your homework. You should watch it, and you will love it, and you'll tell us about it after Comic-Con. Probably not, but
yes. Well, eventually.
Eventually, when you're slugged your way through Sense8.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so sometimes, I mean, you just have to forget about the current stuff and you just want to go back and discover these old things that people loved and Political Animals. I think it was definitely nominated for a few Emmys. I remember writing it up. I don't know if it won anything, but it deserved it. So that's the end of TV show of the week. Obviously, you guys might have right now be like shouting, why are you not talking about Teen Wolf? But it's because I'm not caught up, and I don't know about, I think Kyle, you're not 100% caught up too. Yeah. So yes. We don't want to talk about it when we haven't seen it yet. However, moving on to Hot on Hypeable now, there is a lot of Teen Wolf stuff on Hypeable obviously, because season 5 came back, our Teen Wolf fans on staff are just, you know, completely just throwing out all this incredible content that you do definitely want to check out. There is a list of characters we'd like to see return. There is a quiz to test your knowledge in season 4. And most amazingly, there is not only an exclusive interview with showrunner Jeff Davis. Jeff Davis also came on our Hyperbole's Teen Wolf podcast, Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, and spent the episode with Karen and Natalie just talking about everything that you can imagine. It was I think that's a Hyperbole first, having a showrunner on a podcast.
Yeah.
And we are just really, first of all, just really proud, just stupidly proud of like our little Hyperbole just becoming so official. But also, obviously, Not Another Teen Wolf podcast is kind of a big deal in the Teen Wolf community. So, and now they have Jeff Davis on it. If you're a Teen Wolf fan, go subscribe to it and listen to it. And you'll definitely you'll get all of your Teen Wolf discussions sated, which we're not able to provide on the show. And speaking of exclusive interviews, our very own Kyle, our token male on the show, you know Kyle, did a fantastic interview with Zachary Levi. I don't know if you want to just set it up real quick and we can just direct people to Hyperbole where they can read it.
Yeah. So we interviewed him for Nerd HQ, which is an event that happens every year at Comic-Con. It's like a separate event. So if you guys live nearby or you plan on going to Comic-Con or you only have like a day pass or something, Nerd HQ is a separate series of panels for TV shows with they're called Conversations With. And so it's like Conversations with the cast of Orphan Black and whatnot. The proceeds go to charity. And Zachary Levi talks about like the charity a little bit. And so we just talked to him about the differences because they're moving to a new location, just about Nerd HQ in general and what's going to happen. And it's really cool. And in the end, he ended up chatting about like celebrity culture and just the way that he wishes celebrity culture would be. And it's a fun read. He had some really, really interesting things to say. And that's up on Hyperbole.com.
Amazing. We'll link to it in the show notes and on Twitter as well. And now some other things on Hyperbole. Actually, I wrote this list. The rest of it is like my stuff. I did not intend that, but I did write some a lot of original content this week. We've got an ode to Joss Whedon, a birthday article with 7 quotes about writing and life, where he gives some inspirational comments, and there's some nice graphics that I made. If you want to share them. Also, you know, coming back to the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage, I wrote up an article about 6 TV couples that can now get hitched, and 3, on page 2, 3 couples that should have been if, you know, the TV gods hadn't killed them off. Very sad. You can go check that out on Hyperbole. There's also a fun quiz. Can we guess your Hogwarts house by asking random questions? I want to ask Kyle and Pam if we could. If you've taken the quiz,
I got Slytherin.
Oh.
And Pamela and Marima think I'm a Slytherin, but I think I'm a Hufflepuff, but I also
you
think I might
Slytherin.
Be a Slytherin. See, so you might have, but I don't know.
Look, Kyle, it's a known fact around the Hyperbole staff that Marima and I are like the sorting hat. So if we say you're in Slytherin, you're in Slytherin. I hate to break it to you, but we have had in-depth conversations about everybody on staff, and we have sorted everybody. And yeah, you're definitely Slytherin. You can have you can have Hufflepuff undertones, but you're like,
what did you sort me into?
And what did we sort you into? We said that you were a Raven. Griffin.
Definitely not a Ravenclaw, so it has to be Gryffindor. I'm not smart enough to be a Ravenclaw.
But you're very thoughtful, so that's why you got
that's true, but I
way into Ravenclaw.
Me and Marima had a great discussion about that too. Thoughtful. And what are you?
But Marima, on the other hand, is a Slytherin. Well, I Marima agrees with this. I'm a Gryffindor, but for all the bad reasons.
Oh, me too. That's what I always say.
Yes, because everybody's like, oh, Gryffindor, Gryffindor, Gryffindor's really great. then there are bad qualities being a Gryffindor. Mainly, you usually tend to rule with your heart, and then you're very stubborn, so you don't take things back. So you will see a decision to the bitter end, even if it means that
exactly. It's very good. Yeah.
So yes. But I took your Gryffindor. I almost always get Gryffindor on on most quizzes. So I feel like
This quiz is kind of funny.
That's definitely my house.
We suggest that everyone listening go take it if they haven't yet, because this is sort of, it's not actually a sorting quiz. It is kind of like turning it around and saying, okay, well, we know what your house is. Let's see if we can guess it. And it's all these random questions that I designed, and they really are very random. So obviously, looking at the comments, it seemed like there's about like just over half have got it right. And that sounds about right when considering it's random questions, but it's a fun quiz. And I've been sitting on it for a while, so I'm glad that it finally was released on the 18-year anniversary of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And it was fun.
Now, my favorite, by the way, I just want to say that pick the ink blot.
Yes.
The ink blot, because I sat there and I was like, best. I was questioning my own ink blot prowess for way longer than I should have.
Yeah. And you know, actually, not to give away all the secrets, but the one that looked like that was the most abstract was the one I assigned to Ravenclaw, because I figured if you're thinking about it for that long, and you're really trying to trick the quiz, then that's the one you'd go for. So, or Slytherin.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So that was kind of there were some that were made more sense than others, but that wasn't the point of the quiz. It wasn't to make fun.
I like it.
Yeah, it was fun, and people seem to.
You were still thoughtful. See, thoughtful.
See. Yeah.
Anyway.
I have all these great thoughts, and then what actually ends up coming out of my mouth is all the wrong stuff, or I write stuff on the hype one. I'm like, oh crap. So yeah, there's a little house. There's a little bit of each house in all of us. I always say that I wish I was a Hufflepuff, because I feel like those are the best people.
Hufflepuff,
but
pride.
I'm way too like stubborn and restless to be happy in that house. And Merrimer very astutely declared Hufflepuffs the Hobbits of Hogwarts, and I thought that was just perfect. It was so perfect.
Like, is it because they live by? I know. I was going to say it's because they live right by the kitchen, so they can have second breakfast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, sorry. When you start talking about sorting, like, you never stop talking about sorting. It's horrible.
It's a Harry Potter fan issue.
Yes.
Like, we all suffer with it.
Yeah. If you come to Comic-Con and we have a conversation, I will happily sort you.
Oh, awesome. Just,
like, be
I'm
sitting
really
at the
good at this.
Table and have that conversation.
Sorting here, you should make a sign like, so how we'll
pre-sorting.
Sort you.
Pre-sorting. Yeah, pretty much.
And then you get like a sticker like hashtag sorted.
I could like just voted. I could start a I could just fix so many people's like existential crises, I feel like, if I could just tell them exactly where they would be.
Yeah. So you guys
all
could,
right, let's
could
move
both
on
do
to,
that.
Important things, I guess.
Yeah, so just a couple of more articles. This one I didn't write. Guys, I didn't write this. So Merma and Mikhail wrote a really interesting, we sort of talked about this a little bit last week, really interesting article about the new Spider-Man casting, why they believe that this would have been a great opportunity for Marvel to diversify, considering that there are actually, when you tell the Spider-Man story, there's a few different routes you could have gone with it. And of course, it's worth saying that there's absolutely no criticism of Tom Holland here, because Tom Holland is a young actor and he's gonna do a fantastic job. But this article basically outlines how Marvel could have done more than just cast another Peter Parker that, you know, we've already seen. You can go check that out. And finally, a fun thing that I'm so proud of getting to share with you guys. Superfit Hero is this amazing new clothing line, exercise clothing line that's size inclusive and fandom friendly. They basically want to make us all superheroes, and they're designing exercise clothes to like make us look like superheroes and make us feel like superheroes, and then sort of when you go running and like if you have like if you're not like stick thin, then you will sort of feel the jiggle, if you will. There's an image for you. And these guys are making these tights that are basically like high-waisted and they don't roll down, and they're designed like by athletes. And we have one pair to give away worth $85, and it's a month-long giveaway, mainly because they've only just launched their Kickstarter and the products aren't ready for shipping yet. It's awesome. It's an awesome initiative. You can donate to that Kickstarter. You can order like the clothes if you want to order the clothes, or you can enter our giveaway, and you can check that out on Hypeable. And I'm super excited about this. I think the woman who runs it was a little like sort of taken aback by my enthusiasm. She was like, "Whoa." But they are giving us away a free pair of tights, so I think that's worth some enthusiasm. You can check out all of that and much more on Hypeable.com, and we'll have some links to that in the show notes, and we'll have some links on our Twitter at Hypeable Hype. Finally, before we wrap up the show, we're going to breeze through the listener feedback because we don't have time to talk about it. First up, from Hypeable.com, we had Baylor reacting to our discussion about Spider-Man last week. He said Sony and Marvel could surprise us. Maybe Peter Parker will quit or die in Civil War, and the first solo Spider-Man movie will be about Miles Morales taking on the responsibility. While I don't think that that's going to happen, but it's an interesting thought. Next up, Kyle, do you want to get it?
Yeah, of course I get the ones with the names that I can't pronounce.
Ning Z.
Ning Z. I think that's it. I think I did it. says on Hypeable, or on Twitter, catching up on Hypeable Hype, and I feel you, Selena. I too have to wait until the 27th of August to watch Inside Out. Avoid all the spoilers, and I feel so bad for you guys.
I feel so bad for us too. That sucks. And Pam, do you want to get Angie's comment?
Yes, I feel like this one's very fitting because of my fault. Angie says, I forgot to thank at Hypeable Hype for reminding me that I'm still waiting for Midnight Sun to officially be. Sorry, not sorry, Angie. I just needed somebody to feel my pain. So I appreciate you.
just to set this up, as you guys know, we've been asking you guys for iTunes reviews and ratings just to help us sort of be more prominent in the iTunes podcast store. And finally, I don't see the American ones, but finally someone has shared them with me, so I get to see what awesome stuff you guys have been saying about us.
And these people are so kind. You guys are all so awesome. So thank you so much for all your reviews. Chi88, I think is how you say the username.
Chi-chi.
Says,
I don't know.
is I listen to a lot of podcasts on Hype is one of my favorite. It's not only about the content, but it's about the people. Great hosts are so important, and Hype makes me feel like I'm part of the team. Well, because you are a part of the team. It feels like I'm hanging out amongst friends.
Yay! Thank you so much, and thank you to everybody who has listened, who's left iTunes reviews and ratings, because it's pretty much the only way that we can promote ourselves. Really, aside from obviously social media, and while we would do this no matter, okay, we'd like one or two people to listen. Otherwise, why would we record? But we would do this no matter how many people listen. But the more people listen, the more feedback we're gonna have. And also in terms of, we know some of you have been saying, oh well, sometimes you always agree on stuff. And yeah, it's true. Sometimes we do happen to all agree on stuff. But then if you're listening and you don't agree, then you can send in your opinion, like your counterpoint, and we can bring that up on the next episode to get more balanced opinions. And just expanding the listener base is obviously the best way of making sure that there are lots of opinions that can be shared on the show. So please keep doing that, and we thank you so much for taking the time, because it helps more than it seems. And finally, we have a review from Twitter. Pam, do you want to get that?
At Just the Square says, love at Hypeable Hype due to the variety of countries and opinions represented.
Oh,
it's all
yay.
About the fandoms, and I love the new ones. I'm going to love. Thank you so much. That really, I love these. Like you guys said, it just, my favorite shows to listen to, because obviously like, we don't really listen to ourselves, except for maybe Selena, who has the joy of editing us every week, are shows where you just kind of feel like you're part of the group, or that kind of, you know, yeah, that you just enjoy listening to. So it's awesome to hear that we give you guys that, because yeah, that's what I enjoy.
So. That's really awesome. Thank you so much.
Warm fuzzies all around.
Lots of love. All right, so to wrap up the show today, no one's seen Magic Mike, I assume, because we didn't talk about it, but we might bring that up.
It comes out today.
Oh, does it? Oh, well, there you go. Yes. It's out today. As for next week's show, it's going to be fun. Next week is Comic-Con, so all of our hosts, except me, I've made my peace with it. Everyone and most of the Hypeable staffers are off to Comic-Con. Which means lots of exclusive, exciting content is coming to Hypeable, and I'm gonna wheedle it out of these guys in 2 weeks when they come back on the show. We're gonna have maybe we're gonna do like a Comic-Con special where they get to share all of their fun moments. As for next week's show, it's gonna be a expletive fest, because we've invited some of the other Hypeable staff members who are not going to Comic-Con to come on Hype instead and to have a show and talk about news and share their own views. So for those of you looking for alternate views, definitely check out next week, because it's a brand new set of hosts. Most of people you will recognize from other podcasts or older podcasts, and it'll just be really fun to bring in a new group of people. It'll be chaotic. I am somewhat worried, but in a good way. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's what you guys have to look forward to next week. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about Comic-Con, and then we'll be back to our regular scheduling. And for you guys, Pam and Kyle, I say with all my heart, have a fantastic time. I think it's going to be great.
Thank you. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Comic-Con's like my favorite time of year. So I'm stoked.
I'm so excited, you guys.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm so excited and so nervous and so excited. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so awesome. And we expect, obviously, those of us who can't go, which is me and the listeners, we expect Instagram and tweets and all kinds of fun little anecdotes. And we will, of course, if you listeners are interested in seeing some of what these guys get up to, then pester them on Twitter if they forget. And that's everything for this week's show. So we'll see you next week for an alternate reality hype dark panel. And check us out on Hypeable, hypeable.com. Go to Twitter @HypeableHype. Go on Instagram @HypeableHype. And leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. Until next time, I'm Selena.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Pamela.
And that actually kind of worked out.
Yes. Beautiful. I loved it. You just really want to say your names and get out of here, is what that sounded like.